This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
What a night it was with Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Big Ed set that up. I wonder why. Well, it was a good song. I love it. Very good, Ed.
Good morning. Without showing my age, I was born in 63.
You were born 63. Was that the year that song came out? Oh, cool. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show, Tampa Bay's libertarian radio voice. I am Paul Molloy, and with a younger Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. In a few minutes, we will be talking with our good friend Heather Kayes, nationwide education reporter. It's our weekly look at American schools. What's going on with them? Are we getting anywhere? Among the topics, going back to paper and pencil testing in the old school. And the confirmation hearings for Education Secretary nominee Betsy DeVos. So stay tuned for that. And President Obama has decided to send back Cubans who escape that island and that oppressive regime unless they have a damn good reason for staying. What is going on with President Obama and changing our wet foot, dry foot Cuban policy? We will talk about it. And with 1 week left before Donald Trump is inaugurated president, what does the most accurate poll of all, the Barber poll, have to say about his chances for success? And our ultimate top 10 list, speaking about inaugurations, the top 10 most surprising little tidbits, little facts about presidential inaugurations. So stay tuned for that. Freedom Works. We are sponsored in part by Andrew, the Master Barber. For the best haircut in Tampa Bay, I am telling you, it's Andrew's Master Barber Shop in the Columbia Plaza, State Road 580, just west of the Countryside Mall. Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30. Saturday, 8:30 to 2. Well, there is a lot going on. Boy, all those hearings. They're all going on at once, you know. I guess it's, if you get so many of the hearings going on at once, the media can't attack any single one too much, right? They don't know who to go after. But they're all going on right now. And so far, it looks like all of them are going to make it. There'll be a lot of pointed fingers by Democrats on these committees. Tillerson, the guy that's running for the Secretary of State, for instance, is getting a lot of pointed fingers. Then there's that Mad Dog Mattis guy, who doesn't apparently like to be called Mad Dog, except by his troops, who will be our Secretary of Defense. He looks like he's going to make it too. In the meantime, what is going on with President Obama and Cuba? President Obama announced late yesterday, he was ending a long-standing immigration policy allowing any Cuban who made it to the U.S. soil to stay and become a legal resident. He lets in all the Mexicans or the people coming across the Mexican border, but apparently not so good for Cuba right now. In a statement, he said the so-called wet foot, dry foot policy was designed for a different era of U.S.-Cuba relations. Under the new policy, Cubans who attempt to enter the U.S., you know, by boat, without qualifying for humanitarian relief, will be sent back. Great. Great. Nothing like going back to one of the most oppressive regimes in the world, right? Thanks to the U.S. I guess by doing this, President Obama has solidified the Cuban vote for the Republicans. much like he possibly strengthened the Israeli vote, the Jewish vote, for Republicans with that little Security Council vote. Remember that? So, anyway, Obama added that the gracious Havana government, I put the word gracious in there, has agreed to accept Cubans ordered to leave the U.S. Remember when Obama went down there? I guess he saw a baseball game with Raul Castro. Was there a foul ball that hit him on the head or something like that during the game?
Two of them.
Because to say this now as he's leaving, what is he trying to do? Does he think most Cubans are going to go, yeah, that's what we want? We want all those people sent back to Cuba that want to be here. I don't think so. Now, on the one hand, he's saying, well, we can't just allow one particular group of people to come over here and not be subject to the same rules as everybody else. Well, apparently the same rules as everybody else these days is if you get into the United States across the Mexican border, you can stay. So I don't know what he's doing. Why is he picking on Cuba? Because they tend to vote Republican? That's what I'm wondering. I think this is crazy. Why is he, you know, it's like picking a scab. Why is he doing that as he leaves? It's an executive order, which means Donald Trump can reverse it. Now, we are trying to establish better relations with Cuba. I don't have a problem with that. I think that's a good idea. But they're still killing people and imprisoning people over there if you don't agree with what they're communists. Has anybody figured that out? Apparently, President Obama doesn't mind if they're communists. It's the people coming from the other countries that have to go back. I mean, that can stay. Anyway, let us do this. We will take our break. And when we come back, got a lot to talk about with Heather Kays as far as what's going on with American schools.
God, I hate need you to help me, let's please don't tease. If I can hold you, then let me squeeze. My heart goes round and round.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
Toastmasters International from District 48 presents Toastmaster Talk on the Tan Talk Radio Network, helping the world become better leaders and speakers with your hosts, Brenda Alaco, Kathy Nabe, Lynn Perry, and Joseph Camerari.
Join Toastmaster Talk every Thursday afternoon at 5 o'clock right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tan Talk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Hi, this is Tim Del Toro.
And I'm Lou Angel Wolf, and we are the Grease Gurus.
Our show is broadcast every Saturday morning live at WTAN, Tan Talk Radio, 1340.
That's 10 o'clock every Saturday morning for an automotive forum that is flavored with humor and insight.
We encourage you to call in and be part of the Grease Gurus show.
We'd love to have you, and we will certainly help you find your inner grease.
This show is sponsored by Tim's Performance Service Center in beautiful Tarpon Springs at 906 Verona Place, and you can reach us personally at 727-543-1601.
Aha.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us on Freedom Works this morning. Beautiful Friday morning, by the way, in Tampa Bay. Pretty warm for a January day. Well, as per usual, Heather Kays is joining us. She is an education reporter and policy expert. She's been published in all kinds of journals, the Watchdog.org, The Hill, USA Today, the Associated Press, many, many, many more. And we got a lot of things to talk about today. Heather, I know first among them comes from the Federation for Children website. A poll has been taken, and apparently school choice looking pretty good in the vote, right?
Absolutely. This is the third year that the American Federation for Children has done such a poll, and every time it hovers around 70%, which is, you know, obviously, how many things can you think about that people are surveyed about in this country that they agree on that level?
Right, it's very high. Very high.
Very high, yeah. And it's high on both sides of the aisle and also with independents, which is something that I think really important to acknowledge. It, when you explain school choice and it doesn't sound like some nefarious thing where people are trying to snatch money from traditional public schools and you just ask, do you think that parents should be in control of what's happening to their kids' education? People really are interested in having that be the thing that happens. So I always like to highlight this poll because I know how important it is for people to realize that this is what's happening. And also, to the credit of the American Federation for Children, because school choice is something that's often viewed as a Republican idea, they have a polling organization that's actually Democratic that they have come in and do the poll.
You know, it's funny. I was just going to ask you.
On the up and up.
I was just going to ask you about that. I was just going to ask you about this poll because sometimes, let's face it, the organization conducting the poll is a little bit one way or the other. Now, the Freedom, the American Federation for Children, is that tends to be kind of down the middle group or what?
They tend to be very school choice. They're actually the organization that Betsy DeVos was the head of until she ended up being put in a position to go to the post that she's hopefully going to be confirmed for mm-hmm. in the Trump administration.
Yeah.
But it, really, as everything I know about them is that they're in favor of school choice and advocating for students and families. And yeah, but as far as organizations like that, I would say they are right down the middle.
Okay, fair enough.
They're not people who come across like you need to be in favor of religious education or you need to be in favor of a certain type of anything.
Yes.
Everything I've gotten from anyone I've ever spoken to or dealt with there has really delivered the message to me that they just want every student to have an opportunity to learn.
Ah, a breath of fresh air. On to the next story, and this has to do with our city up to the north of us, Jacksonville. Absent teachers in Jacksonville, they have more than normal. What's going on there?
So it turns out that Duval County has a lot of absent teachers based on the most recent data available, which is 2013-14. And so they're second in the country behind Nevada.
Really?
Next after Nevada, I mean.
Well, those people we know about, they're all out at the gambling table. But I'm wondering why they're, what's the problem here in Jacksonville?
I wish I knew the answer to that.
Oh.
However, I mean, it's looking at 10 days. Is considered for a teacher to be chronically absent. I don't want to discount this as something that doesn't matter, but I do want to say that students are given, it depends on the state, and I don't know how it works in Florida, but it's between 10 and 16 days usually that students can be absent. And you have to imagine that even if you're just taking sick days for the sake of taking sick days when you're actually sick. If you're working in a school, you're going to become ill more than a lot of other people because people come to school sick.
That's true. If you're in groups, sure. If you're in groups, that's true. So we don't know why they're more than they're absent more than normal, but they are, and it's almost twice the national average. That's a little bit disturbing. Is this just for the public schools in Duval County, or is it also for non-public schools?
I believe it's just for the public schools, but I'm not 100% sure. Normally, charter schools and other private institutions don't release that type of data.
Yeah.
I believe it's just for traditional public schools.
Okay.
The problem here is having a teacher who knows the subject and can follow the lesson plan is one of the biggest drivers in student achievement and actually making sure that students absorb the information and remain on course. I'm sure you remember being in school and you have a substitute teacher come in for a day or two or three.
Mm-hmm.
How much work do you actually get done?
Very little.
As a student in that class.
Very little. We broke the chain of whatever we were doing with our teacher. This one would come in and, well, where were you in the book or something like that, you know?
It's still like that. And that's the biggest problem with it is students who were engaged and trying to learn and remembered what they were doing end up lost by the time the teacher gets back.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean...
No question.
It genuinely is a problem.
Yeah, I'm just curious why it is worse in Jacksonville. That's a very interesting... We'll have to follow up on that one and see why. We're talking with Heather Kays. She is a great education reporter and policy expert. She's devoting her life to schools and making them better. She's been published by Watchdog.org, USA Today, the Associated Press, and many more. Now, I kind of like this. Paper and pencil exams. This is in Florida. And apparently state lawmakers are talking about curtailing some of the state testing. And maybe going back to the old paper pencil, tell us about that.
They are. And I like this very much also. This has been an ongoing fight in Florida, which I think is a really good fight for teachers and administrators to have. They feel like the testing is too much, and a lot of problems arise when you do the computerized testing, which they came to find when they switched to Common Core-based standard, and they were at one point trying to test kindergarten students on a computer.
Oh, great. My goodness.
My goodness.
They can barely do the alphabet. They're going to put them on a computer now with a keyboard. Great.
Right, and you're assuming that every student has access to a computer, and they're going to know if they click something that it's not going to mess something else up, which isn't really fair to students who come from low-income households or just in general, because the teachers can't even go back and change the answers if someone accidentally hits something.
Sure.
And then you have all of the issues with the computer systems being bombarded and it not actually working and these teachers taking all of this time out of the day where students could actually be learning and trying to make sure that the computerized testing is going well.
So these are a group of superintendents, a bunch of them that got together and said we ought to go back to some of this paper pencil stuff.
Yep, and this isn't the first time that there have been teachers and administrators standing up and saying, we're not going to do this, we shouldn't do this, this is the wrong way to go about it. And I just love that people in Florida are always willing to stand up and be bold and say, this is wrong. It's not the right type of education. I think it speaks to the caliber of the people in the state, and I think that it speaks to just educators actually caring enough to stand up and want to fight for what's right.
Yeah.
So they're pushing to go back to paper and pencil. which I don't know who that possibly hurts. It seems like a win for students and for teachers, administrators, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of good in getting back. There's more of a thought process when you have to apply a pencil to a piece of paper, too, rather than just kind of sometimes mindlessly, you know, hitting a keyboard on a computer. It's just the whole bit. Now, first of all, I got to ask you this. I've heard her name pronounced three different ways. Betsy DeVos, and I think I heard you say Betsy DeVos. We're talking about the, I would hope to say, incoming Secretary of Education. She's undergoing confirmation hearings. How do you pronounce her name?
I say DeVos, but it's because someone else told me her name is pronounced DeVos.
Now, I heard.
I could be wrong.
I used to say, just guessing, DeVos, but it turned out I heard on some network DeVos. So you say DeVos, I say DeVos. Either, let's call the whole thing off. Anyway, do you remember that song? It's an old one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. All right.
I do, actually.
Okay. I like this whole thing. In fact, there's a story I pulled out of the USA Today this morning, or excuse me, maybe yesterday, about this whole Betsy DeVos thing. And but her confirmation hearing is about to occur, and in a very interesting story you've got here, we look at past education secretary confirmations to compare them to what she might expect. And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, I kind of wanted to talk about this story for a couple of reasons. The first being her confirmation hearing was postponed. It was supposed to have been on the 11th, and now it's going to occur on the 17th.
Oh.
I don't know exactly why that was the case, but I...
They probably wanted to single her out for firepower, they being the Democrats, or do you think the postponement was done... Or was the postponement done by the Trump administration, maybe?
I don't know, to be honest with you, but I could speculate that the incoming Trump administration was taking some heat as far as scheduling too many confirmation hearings all at the same time.
Yeah, but I'm glad they're doing it. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that maybe she was, you know... I think she's going to be fine no matter when it happens, to be honest. I really, really do. This whole thing is kind of a circus.
It is. Now,
senators getting up and saying things against people, and there's all sorts of craziness happening. But
well, here, let's look at some of these people. Richard Riley was unanimously confirmed. Was he not an Obama nomination? And then Rod Paige, a Bush nomination, he was confirmed by a voice vote. A lot of these didn't even have a vote, you know, numerically. I'm thinking the Democrats are going to demand a count. That's what I'm thinking on her. And let's talk about why. The reason is that she is for school choice, and she goes against the teachers' unions. And the Democrats are very afraid, and the teachers' unions, I think, are paralyzed with fear about her. Do you agree?
Yeah, and if they aren't, they should be.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
good. Yeah. Now, let me just say this: there is a story in yesterday's USA Today that I circled to bring in here to talk with you about the current education secretary, who you have said is not against a lot of things like charter schools and the like, but his name is John King. He cautions against weakening the public education system in America. Now, Betsy DeVos calls the public education system, quote, a dead end. I think she's right. In fact, Donald Trump is proposing to spend about $20 billion in federal funds. That's more than the department spends for low-income students now, but he'd take that money and give students a ticket to charter, magnet, or private schools of their choice. And I'm thinking DeVos is all for that, right?
Absolutely, she is.
So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. This is her whole life's mission, her work, her professional work has been fighting to make school choice real and to give families options. And I think that that's the reason that she was selected by Trump in the first place. So everything about this is great to me. And I'm hoping that she's not going to be raked over the coals during her confirmation hearing, even though I know that...
Oh, they'll talk about her wealth. So they'll talk about her wealth. They'll try to say that she's, what's the word? You know, she's out of touch. I guarantee you they're going to say something about she's out of touch. She's,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know what? She had a wealthy family, and she married someone wealthy. She's not a poor woman, but that doesn't mean she's an evil woman.
Of course not. Of course not. Of course. But you see, liberals and people
kind of
that
forget.
Yeah, they. But you see, if you do well, no matter how you accumulate your money, if you do well, you're not a good person. In their eyes, you know, you're an evil person. Wealthy people are to be despised in some cases. Now, King, our current education secretary, John King, he was a former charter school founder. He was a one-time commissioner of New York. He likes charter schools, but he says private school vouchers are a different story altogether. He says, I don't think vouchers are a scalable solution to the challenges we face in public education. And I think they have the potential to distract us from focusing on how we strengthen public education. Let me tell you something, Mr. King. As soon as you allow more people to have a choice of schools, I guarantee you the public schools will have to shape up to compete. You know?
Absolutely. But here's my thought on that. There hasn't been any administration that has supported school choice except for charter schools. And the last several presidents have all supported charter schools wholeheartedly. But once you say the word voucher or try to turn it into something where you give that much flexibility and freedom to parents, then suddenly you're trying to dismantle traditional public schools and public education. And I think that a lot of that is actually connected to, you have to ask whether or not the government and a lot of people in general, voters included, think that parents are smart enough and have a right to say what happens when it comes to their children's education.
Exactly. Exactly. And on that note, Heather, I want to thank you again. Very, very interesting discussion. And hopefully next Friday when we talk again, I think we're going to have a new president, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll find out how everything went with Betsy. So we'll talk with you then, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
There she goes, Heather Case. All right, we're going to take our break, and when we come back, gots to talk to the head of the barber pole about the Trump inauguration.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
Tune in to the Book Club with John Austin.
Well, I actually taught public speaking, as you probably know, in college for 7-8 years.
You could ask the questions and answer them yourself. I could just sit here.
You ask terrific questions, you listen, and you it's just a joy to work with you.
Well, I love
you. We should go on the road, you know?
Right, well, I'd be happy to. And
you may not be able to go on the road, but don't worry. We bring the Book Club to you every Tuesday at noon right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
Hi, I'm Dawn Reese, talk show host for over 35 years from Hollywood, California, now in Clearwater, Florida. Tune in Wednesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. Do you want to get connected in show business? Real people that will help your career. Call in to be a part of the show. Do you want to be discovered? Do you have talent? I have weekly auditions. Do you want to be a teen reporter or a beauty queen reporter? Please go to HollywoodConnections.biz and call 727-871-7788 for your audition now. I'm Dawn Reese, your host. Tune in.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. Freedom Works. I want to remind you we're sponsored in part by Andrew the Master Barber, his great barber shop, located in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of Highway 19 and the Countryside Mall. And for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, I am telling you, that's where it is. Get into that Columbia Plaza. Look for that yellow sign with the red letters, Columbia Plaza. He's right smack dab in the middle. Look for the barber pole. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, Saturday, 8:30 to 2. And speaking about the master barber, Andrew, first of all, in 1 week, your buddy, Donald Trump, will be our president. And he spent some time apparently getting upset about this dossier on him. That said, maybe the Russians had the goods on them. What do you think? I know what you think, but I want you to verbalize on it.
It's all a bunch of baloney. They're doing anything they can to try and cause any kind of ruckus they can before the inauguration.
I think you're right.
Okay.
They're also going after the FBI director again. They want to see if they can bring, you know, to drudge up that whole...
Anything that they want to get the people worked up for the inauguration so they show up and try to protest.
There you go.
It's the psychological effect of dummies. If you get them...
Okay.
If you get them all worked up like they're doing, look at this Trump. This has all been a scam. These people are looking for anything to chew at.
I know. It's amazing how... And the media's the one to blame here. They keep bringing these, dredging these things up and making them front page stories.
You know
they
why?
Don't
because
deserve
they're
it.
They're so
I
mad think. At Trump because he's not giving them the time of day and he puts them in their place.
Did you enjoy that news conference?
I loved it.
Did you enjoy the way he ignored the CNN reporter?
He looked right at him and said, this is fake news. And, you know, this is the latest thing going on around here. I had to yell at Candy yesterday.
You did?
Because she's trying to spread fake news about me in the barbershop.
Oh, no kidding.
I told her, this is fake news. Now, what have you been hanging around with too many people from CNN or something? You're not spreading fake news in my barbershop.
Well, you should chide Candy. What kind of fake news was she spreading about you, may we ask?
You know.
Or if you don't want to tell us.
Trying to remember because it was really good.
Was it that good? Well, I'll talk with her later and find out what it was.
But anyway, yeah, I seem to have what they call CRS at my age.
Yes, you do.
And I don't remember from yesterday.
I used
to tell you what, man.
Go ahead.
Trump has got them all going. And, you know, even the people are talking about his picks now, saying, you know, look at how good this guy picked his men, because a lot of them don't agree with what he thinks about
That's
certain
true.
Things. Okay? The guy That's is doing
true.
A dynamite job. This guy has got the least respect from any president-elect ever in this country.
Well, the great thing is that the more the media tries to vilify this guy, the stronger the feelings of the people that voted for him, in my opinion.
Listen, he now has the Cuban vote.
Doesn't he? I mean, what is
for
Obama, first of all, he alienates the Jewish vote by orchestrating that Security Council vote against Israel.
Yep.
And now he, now as he's going out the door, he's a mischief maker.
He's got Russia all PO'd. But you know what? Putin's sitting there laughing because he knows this guy's history in a few days. And as a matter of fact, the whole world is laughing at him. You know what his legacy is? Do you know what the best Obama legacy is going to be?
What?
Donald Trump.
Well, I think you might be right. He's kind of got the mop and has to mop up after Obama in some ways.
He's got the Israelis mad at him, the Russians mad at him, the Cubans mad at him. You got the Italians in New York mad at him, you know, that in New York during the holidays.
What did he do to the Italians?
Well, you know what? His buddies there, the Muslim Brotherhood destroyed one of the nativities in an Italian neighborhood church. And the mob bosses came out and said, "We've had enough."
So they're going to protect
them. They mess with us, it's one thing. They mess with our nativity. We'll take care of it ourselves.
There we go.
And in Sicily, they said the same thing. They said, "We've had it over here." They're escorting them out their country themselves, all the mob bosses in Sicily. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
I mean, what's going down? This guy created so much turmoil in the world.
Well, we can't directly blame him for the Muslims and the nativity scene, but we can certainly blame him for alien. I'm telling you, I think as far as the Jewish vote in Florida goes, they're going to be Republicans for a while. And to do this to the Cubans, although I read the story from the Associated Press, it sounded like it was a marvelous idea. But on the one hand, all these people from crossing over the Mexican border, we're letting them stay. These guys that try to make it out of an oppressive communist regime, go back home.
That's right. No, that's this guy. But everybody's going to be glad to see him gone. And I think as time goes on, you're going to see Donald Trump's popularity going up and up. Look at the jobs that he's bringing back already. Look at the faith. Look at the stock market. Look at the faith these corporations are having that they're not going to get screwed over to Kohl's in this country.
As a matter of fact, I think it was Amazon announced they're going add 100,000 or 200,000 jobs.
That's right.
I mean, that's great news. You cannot ignore that.
How come this hasn't happened in the last 8 years? All we ever heard about was $15 an hour minimum wage for McDonald's and Publix baggers.
Excuse me,
you
of course.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
that's
I do.
All we've heard about.
I think that Andrew the Master Barber feels very, very justified in backing Donald Trump right now. Feels very... you're not full of yourself, but you feel pretty proud about it, right?
Oh, I feel proud to be an American again. This guy's got some backbone. He's not bowing down kissing anybody's butts.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see these, it's like you said last week when those little Iranian patrol boats were harassing our destroyers.
Mm-hmm.
If they let them fire a warning shot, Donald Trump said, "Listen, when I'm there, the next time they do that, just blow them out of the water."
Okay, now you got to admit that Donald Trump finally came around to the idea that the Russian government really was involved in the hacking of the Democratic emails. He finally kind of agreed to it. He said so at the beginning of his press conference to some extent, did he not? So at one point he thought, well, it could have been some 400-pound man with a bag of popcorn sitting on a bed somewhere hacking. But maybe it was a 400-pound Russian doing it.
Well, you know, it's like I've been saying. I don't know what they're worried about who hacked it for. What they need to do is look at the evidence that was in there with what was going on, and nothing's being done about that.
True.
I mean, look at how the DNC threw Bernie Sanders to the road.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's a crime.
Yeah.
They rigged an election.
What do you think about the Department of Justice going after Comey? I haven't heard them say that they're going
to... I think they're all trying to save their own rear end right now.
I don't see them saying anything about going after Loretta Lynch, who went on the tarmac and spoke with Billy over there in the plane.
They all know that this whole episode is all going to fall in their face within the next year. Every one of them knows it, and they're all trying to throw who's going to be the scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be the one that's going to take all the crap, because you know what's going to happen. I believe it's going to come down on Hillary. It's going to come down on Comey.
Yeah, I don't know why Hillary shouldn't want this to be re-examined. She's the one that started all of this.
Listen, isn't it good that we don't hear Hillary whatsoever? Don't see her face. You don't hear her. Nothing. She's in hiding. There's a reason. Except she might run for mayor in New York. And that's just what they need there. I wish they'd upon those people.
Well, there you go.
You know, I was just saying.
How can you say that?
I was just saying the other day. I wasn't going to wait until Thanksgiving to say I'm thankful that 1 week from today. The other thing didn't happen.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder
if she and Bill Clinton are going to do some sort of a vaudeville team like Abbott and Costello, because I think they could.
I think they're trying to do to get the over-under on the pantsuit color.
I don't think Bill Clinton's going to be around too long, to be honest.
Really?
He does not look good at all.
Do you think he's going to collapse?
I think he's going to
from too much sex or what?
I think he had too much sex.
Too much sex is going to kill him. I see.
That was part of the problem. Uh-huh. I really don't think he's got long, to be honest.
He does look a little thin, doesn't he?
He doesn't look well.
No, he doesn't look well at all.
I wonder, seriously, if he's okay.
No, you could tell by looking at him.
Yeah.
I mean, they took a couple of shots at him even during the convention, during the campaign.
He shriveled up.
when they turned at a certain angle and the makeup wasn't covering him up, he looked really bad. He looked like a refried bean.
From what we heard, when he was in the White House, he took more of a pounding than Rocky Balboa, you know?
No, I believe it, because you heard how Hillary went crazy the other day.
Well, you know, she had a great uppercut. I did see it one time. She has a great uppercut.
Yeah. Yeah, but she went crazy, and she's been like that all her life, and people put up with it. And the truth is going to come out with all this. Within the next year, you watch and see if the barber's right again. You're going to see them all go down, and people are going to—they're going to be like a hangman's mob.
Well, my friend Andrew, the master barber. By the way, you got to get over there if you want the best haircut you can get in town. It is there, but in a week. We will be talking, and you know he'll be doing his inauguration right about the time you and I are talking. So
about noon.
Yeah. So well, just before that, we'll have a chance to talk about that. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we'll be talking about all the riots that are going on out there.
There you go.
And you know that's going to be a good thing to see, because if that starts over there, as soon as he's done raising his right hand, you know what he's going to say, don't you? He's going to look right at the people there. And said, listen, what are you getting paid for? Do your job. Get rid of this riffraff. Watch and see. This is going to be good.
I'm looking
Put your
forward.
Seatbelts on.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking forward to that inaugural address after he takes the oath.
This is going to be good.
Okay.
All right, my friend.
Thanks, Andrew.
You take care.
All right. Bye. There he goes, Andrew the Master Barber. Okay, we're going to take our final break. And when we come back, two things. We're going to ask Big Ed Davis who's going to win these playoff games in the NFL this weekend. And we're going to give you tidbits, the 10 probably most interesting tidbits about inaugurals.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
And now we're going to go out to the phone lines. We're going to talk to Susan Peterson, the president and CEO of the Safety Harbor Chamber of Commerce. And we have the big event coming up.
Yes, it's our 11th annual Taste of Safety Harbor. It's Monday night, January 16th, and it's at the Safety Harbor Resort and Spa. It's from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. We have 16 restaurants and pubs participating this year.
And how can they get the tickets?
They can go to our website, safetyharborchamber.com, or they can call the chamber at 727-726-2890.
Line X of Tampa Bay would like to salute the brave men and women in uniform that are standing tall for our freedoms. Let's remember them in our thoughts and prayers. Stand up and salute them proudly this holiday season. That's from Line X of Tampa Bay, disabled veteran owned and operated. They're your truck bed lining professionals with the right equipment, knowledge, and expertise. For the best durable truck bed liners ever, call Andy at 727-446-7777. He's on the air reminding us all it's the land of the free because of our brave.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on Freedom Works, and delighted that you have joined us on this Friday morning. Did you know that religion in the past 8 years, whether it's Obama or not, there's a new study, Pew Research, says that religious affiliation and practice have dropped off dramatically during his two terms. Now, why would they drop off? I would think a lot of people would want to cling to religion if they were upset with the president, but yet it's the other way around. Here's what Pew says. When it comes to the nation's religious identity, the biggest trend during the Obama presidency is the rise of those who claim no religion at all. Now, this is coming out of a report entitled How America Changed During Barack Obama's Presidency. When he took office, those who identify themselves as atheists or agnostics, of course, people that are not sure whether or not there is a God, said their religion was nothing in particular. Those people totaled about 16% of the population. After 8 years, the non-religious people now make up almost 25%. That's a lot. That's a big change. The percentage of people who say they believe in God and consider religion to be very important have all dropped during the Obama years. The largest religious demographic, those who self-identify as Christians, went from 78% when Obama took office down to 71% as he leaves. So, but, you know, I think that this has been a trend that's been going on for more than the 8 years that Obama has been in as well. So I don't think you can certainly blame Obama on that. Now, Obama, I don't think, is a big religious guy. Let's be honest. I mean, there are people who say he's not even a Christian, but he just doesn't go to church that much. I don't think religion's a big part of his life. So, but that's an interesting statistic. All right. We're going to bring in our sports expert, Big Ed, because we have two big-time games coming up here. This is getting, to me, it's getting pretty exciting, Ed. But in the Saturday games, let's start out in the National Conference. We have the Seattle Seahawks going up against the Atlanta Falcons. Now, how is that game going to go, in your opinion?
You know, I think that's going to be closer than people think. I think the most people think the Falcons are going to be high-flying all over the place. But I think it'll be closer, but I still think the Falcons will win that game.
Falcons,
by the way,
win?
I went 3-for-4 last week.
You did?
Yes.
All right, man. Well, then we have to listen to what you have to say. So let me make a note, because I'll save this. When we do our show Monday, I'll check with you. Okay, so Atlanta beat Seattle. Will it be a lot, or will it be a close game, do you think?
I think it'll be close.
Okay.
I think within 6 points.
Okay, so I'm going to say within six. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to write this down now. Okay. The other game on Saturday is in the American Conference. Houston goes to the New England Patriots. Okay, tell me about that one.
Well, come on. You know that. That's Countryside.
Houston? You're going to pick Houston?
No.
I know.
Countryside High School against...
that's right. There's like two people from the Clearwater area that are on.
No,
the...
I was making a joke there. That Houston has absolutely no chance.
No, so. Okay. So would you say New England in a walk, right?
Well, I think the line is like 16 points or something.
It's about 15 or 16
huge.
Points. So you think it's going to be that about...
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll say it by a lot. All right. Sunday. Pittsburgh is at Kansas City. What about that one?
You know, if it were in Pittsburgh, I'd take Pittsburgh. But I think the home team gets this one. I give it to Kansas City.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
Close game?
Yes, I do think it'll be a close game.
Okay, Kansas City in a close game. All right, finally, Green Bay Packers are at the... This is going to be an interesting game. Green Bay Packers at the Dallas Cowboys.
I think that the New York Giants did a great job of exposing in the last 2 to 3 weeks of the season of the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that the Packers are peaking at the right time. I think the Packers win that game.
Now, does Dallas have its starting quarterback injured?
Yes. No.
The guy's back.
He never went out. Romo's not playing.
No, but...
Dak Prescott's playing.
I thought for some reason the Dallas quarterback had been injured. I'm wrong.
Oh, well, the original one, yeah.
Tony Romo was injured.
Yeah, but
Dak But this Prescott guy's done so well that Romo is just...
He is now the starter.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying that Green Bay wins this game. Is it a close game?
Yeah, I think it'll stay close. So, I think it'll stay close.
Within five?
Because it is in Dallas.
Within 3 or 4 points?
I wouldn't go that close. I think it could be...
More than
Six.
That? 6 points. Okay. Okay, we got it. All right, very good. Wow. These will be interesting games. I'm looking forward to them. Now, we've got something here. I went out and looked for the most interesting facts about the inauguration of different presidents, and it's amazing what some of them have done. So we've done a top 10 on this, but each one of them is a little bit different, okay? So here we go. The first one we're going to do is the rowdiest inaugural. All right? So, number 10. The rowdiest inaugural occurred at Abraham Lincoln's inauguration. The crowd grew so rambunctious, the police had to be called in. True. All right, the next one we're going to do is the most surprising moment at an inaugural. So, number nine. In 1953, on January 20th, Texas-born Dwight Eisenhower in the reviewing stand was lassoed by a cowboy who rode up to him on a horse.
What the heck was Secret Service?
I think they were running like crazy towards the horse. Fire. Or maybe they were running away from the horse. Mm. The next one is the funniest line in an inaugural address. So, number eight. It was unintentional, but it goes all the way back to Martin Van Buren. He was one of the early presidents. He inadvertently made the audience laugh when he said, "Unlike all who have preceded me, the revolution," meaning the American Revolution, "that gave us existence as one people was achieved at the period of my birth."
Okay.
All right. Number seven. I know I got to go faster. Ed's going, hurry up. Number seven, most striking moment from today's perspective. When Eisenhower asked listeners to bow their heads and join him in a little bit of a quiet prayer, I think that was rather good. Number six. Number six is the tradition of attending a religious service on the way. It started with Franklin Roosevelt in 1933. He stopped at church. George Bush, W. Bush, attended St. John's Episcopal on the way over. Number five. This is the first president to not show up for his successor's inauguration. John Adams in 1801. He was running against Thomas Jefferson, and he was so upset with him, he didn't show up when Jefferson was inaugurated. Number four. The first president inaugurated in Washington, D.C., it was Thomas Jefferson, the one that Adams wouldn't show up for, March 4th, 1801. All right, the next one is the most meaningful ad-libbed line and gesture. Number three, George Washington added the words, quote, "so help me God." He's the one that did it to the oath of office. Of course, he was the first president, so anything that he did was rather unique at that point, right? So he also bent forward and kissed the Bible. So he did two things. And that's how the words and this gesture came about. All right, number two. Shortest inaugural address. Again, George Washington, when he was in his second inauguration, lasted just a couple of minutes, and he got the hell off the podium.
Maybe he had to pee.
Mm-hmm. It could be. All right, the last one is the longest and dumbest inaugural address. Number one is...
Bubba Clinton.
No. It goes back to William Henry Harrison. Huh. And you're going to find out why it's not only the longest, but the dumbest. He delivered an inaugural address that lasted 1 hour and 45 minutes in a howling snowstorm. He wasn't wearing a hat or a coat. Now think about it. He came down with pneumonia, and 1 month later, he was dead.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the longest and dumbest.
There's going to be a first this next inauguration.
Tell me it.
Donald Trump will be the first president to tweet during his inauguration.
What do you mean tweet? Make a noise? Or actually,
no, it's this Twitter thing.
Oh, I thought he would make a noise.
He will send a tweet. He'll be the first one to do it.
Do you think he'll do it while he's taking the oath of office?
Yeah.
Now, that would be something to see.
Donald Trump, hang on there. Let me tweet this out.
Yeah, he'll be tweeting, "Great inaugural so far, everybody."
It's huge.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. Freedom works. We will be back on Monday. Bye for now.